Hi there, I'm Lee. This is Vision Eternity Ministries, and I'm here. My assignment is to help you to enter into eternal life with Jesus. And so those are the things that we talk about. Today we're going to talk about that scripture that says that God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Let's acknowledge him first. Jesus, we thank you that you don't put anything in front of us that we can't handle. We thank you that we have you to depend on. I thank you that everyone listening today would totally get what you showed me. I love you. We love you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. So I'm actually just going to start with a scripture. And the scripture is 1 Corinthians 10:13, and I'm reading out of the Amplified Classic Bible. For there is no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, that has overtaken you and laid hold on you, that is not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you, that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, and such as man can bear. But God is faithful to his word and his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted. I was just thinking, we were talking the other day, God is not a liar, and I like how this says the same thing, to his word, and he is passionate in nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with temptation, he will always provide the way out that means escape to a landing place that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear under it. So I'm going to tell you something I went through. And it started with, you know, I want you to correct me, God. I always ask him to correct me. And so he started showing me a sin in my life, which has to do with temptation, because a sin, that's why I like how the Amplified reads this, because the sin, to let go of it, there's always a temptation. I want to bring this in with Good Friday, because Jesus, when he went to the garden to pray, and he said, Father, is there any other way? He was being tempted. All right, so back to what I'm showing you, what God has showed me is that, okay, so this thing that I actually said, okay, I can go without it. And I did. I went without it. It was hard. I was like, Jesus, like, is there another way? I don't like this way. And he just kept assuring me that this was a God before him. I was putting this before him. And it wasn't healthy for me. When you don't obey God, you know, he said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, ask what you will. You know, we wonder why things aren't happening in our life as promises, and we were talking about that. Well, something went terribly wrong after about 2 days of giving back into that sin. Just think about when everything goes wrong, but there was this one thing and I couldn't handle it. I was like, no, this can't happen. Why is this happening? And God said, you disobeyed me, and you know I'm no respecter of persons. You know, one man isn't different from the other. And when you sin, I can't do anything. When you choose your flesh over me, something over me, then you've really, that's what he said, you've really betrayed me. And I don't know what day he said that, but when he gives me a word, that word helps me to carry on through that day. So I was back at him like, all right, I'm going to do this. I don't need that. I only need God. That's all I need. And I'm going along. And then all of a sudden, I was enticed and gave in again. I couldn't believe it. And before the second time, or just call it the second day for now, it all seemed like crunched into 3 days anyway. But I think the first day was like a week long. And I think about Jesus knowing what was going to happen that week, although I didn't know. But, you know, just wow, wow, he's so wonderful. The thing, the first time that happened that I couldn't handle, that I'm not going to share with you exactly what it is, it was tearing me apart. And when I went back to doing what God said, I think that second day was like a week, that got better. It got better. And it was like, there's no other way it could have gotten better if it wasn't God. But then I gave in again. And then that thing happened again. And, you know, at the beginning of my notes here, I wrote down what he said when this started. He said, a new level of obedience. You know, you can know something, but if you don't do it, you don't really know it. And that's what he said he was teaching me. A new level of obedience. And he was saying so many things, but I couldn't believe that it happened again. And this time I was really, really mad. I was really mad because I gave into that. And it was to the point where I didn't even want anything to do with it anymore because of what it was causing. What that sin was causing wasn't worth it to me. I was angry. He said, I don't give you more than you can handle. And how much truth can you handle? You know, and I always talk about people who don't want to know things and they sweep it under the rug. And then he said, that's what that scripture means, that God doesn't give you more than you can handle. When he shows you a truth that you didn't even know was a problem, although I knew this kind of for a long time, but I was pushing it under the rug. And now I was saying, I want to obey you in everything. He's like, okay, good. Let's get all that sin out of your life. And he started on this. And I was like, wow, I got to take this seriously. He's really serious about this. This is a big deal. And so that's what I was doing. And so the third time, I was so angry. As I said, I was so angry. And I'm like, I want nothing to do with this again. Ever. Ever. I don't need it. I don't want it. I don't care. The second morning was so much better of the second week. And then the third morning, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that this was on its way to getting better. And I was not having a fourth day. I was not having a fourth week. I get it. I get it, God. I understand. And I'm so sorry that I put this before you. And then he started showing me the good parts of it. And I'll tell you this. He said, this thing, you are letting Satan use it to dictate who you are, your self-worth. And it was affecting every part of your life. I'm not good enough because of this. I'm not good enough. I can't do that. I can't do this because of this. And now that he got it out of my way, it changed me. I can do this. I can do this. And he gave me something I could handle. You know, there's so many things like people that think, oh, I'm right with Jesus. I'm going to heaven. Seriously, until you've let him correct you. I didn't know this was coming my way. I know I'm not ready because he's constantly correcting me. But until you sit at his feet and say, correct me, I know it's not going to feel so good, change me. It's not something you can just hear. You go through it. You have to go through it to have meaning in your life, for it to affect you and change you into his likeness. And you can't know that or do it without him. You can't do it on your own. And so reflecting back, it was so worth going through what I went through, the torment, the pressure to get where I am. And during the whole thing, you know, at one point I remember saying to God, this is not fair. I don't like this. And that's when he said, when you betray me, this is really important to hear. when you betray me, then you're not my little girl anymore. If we think we're going to have eternal life, but we're betraying him, then we're not his. Knowingly. I was knowingly. He told me. But when he used that word, I'm like, wow. I'm never coming out from under this umbrella again. And I hope I won't. But, you know, we don't know until he shows us. And so if you think you're ready for eternal life and you haven't been corrected, you might be betraying him and you don't even know it. You don't even know. I didn't know it, even though I was going through it. Even though he told me the exact words I needed to hear is, you're betraying me. I thought you wanted to know the truth. You know, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. Like if he told you everything that was wrong in your life at one time, you would just fall apart. Just that one thing that I was hanging on to for dear life that was showing me my self-worth was crazy. It was crazy. It was controlling me. That one thing that was dictating to me who I was. Jesus. He went through that whole week before. I'm sure the last week, or maybe he had 3 weeks, like my 3 days. Like my 3 weeks, but there were 3 days. Especially from Good Friday until Sunday. It was all worth it. It was all worth it. The pressure, the anxiety, the feeling to want to give up. God was showing me that Jesus had all those same, of course, flesh feelings. Oh my God, is there any other way? Father, is there any other way? My Lord, my God, Jesus, I can't take this anymore. And you know what? By the time I got to the third day, kind of like Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, right before he took his last breath out of here. But right before my last day, I forgot all about that thing. I wasn't longing for it anymore because I was feeling that renewed person that he gave to me. For giving that up, now I'm actually free of it. I'm free of the enemy dictating to me who I am because of a thing. For Jesus, it was all worth it. Yes. Yes. Look at all those people that his decision affected. All of us. Look what he did. He went through those 3 days of hell so that we could have life to the full, till it overflows, so that we could have eternal life with him, so that his power could live on the inside of us. He was tempted to quit. That's what he said. But he didn't, because he loved his Father. He wanted what his Father wanted. He loved us. He laid down his life for us. And he's asking us to lay down our life for that next person. You know, when you go through and you're tempted and you don't give in to the temptation because you want to please the Father, that affects everyone around you sooner or later. Because then you're going to carry his glory, his anointing, and that's what I want. I want his power in my life. I don't want to be a Christian that looks like the world, that there's no power in my life, that I have all the same vices they do. I don't want to live where there's one disaster, one thing after another happening in my life and God can't fix it because I won't obey him. Because I don't want to let go of that. I want to do this. I maybe change my mind, you know, Maybe, but I can't, and I know that. I respect him. I honor him. I'm afraid of him in the sense that I fear him as God and all-knowing, and he knows what's good for me. But, ugh, it didn't feel good. Didn't feel good for Jesus. But he wasn't about to give up, even though he might have felt that way. And so it's all worth it. It was all worth it to him. No one takes my life. I lay it down. I laid it down. And I was saying, I'm not going to give up my eternal life. I'm going to lay this down. And he helped me through it. And so, I don't know that I clarified enough. When Jesus tells you something that you need to fix, and if it's a big thing, you know, if it's something more than a little tiny thing that doesn't bother you, like, oh yeah, I can do that, no problem. But if it's something that the enemy is tormenting you with and it's a big deal, then he just gave me what I could handle. Can you handle this much truth about you? And who knows? In a week or two, or maybe tomorrow, it'll be something else. A little more truth. You could handle this much at this time. And now you can handle this much now. I remember once he sends me out, and I was rejected. And I was in the car and I was crying as I left. And he said, okay, now go here. Shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against him and move on. And it wasn't the first time. And I'm like, really? No compassion here? And you know what he was saying is, this is it. I mean, this is what you do. This is laying down your life for me. This is carrying your cross. Just take the persecution, expect it, and move on to the next challenge. And this thing I went through was somewhat like that. Okay, so then we're going to move on to the next thing that's wrong with you. The next thing that's unhealthy for you. The next thing that has you in a prison and is controlling you. And you want it out. You don't want Satan to have you in a prison. And that's really what is happening. He's got you in this vice. And the only way you can set free is when Jesus enables you. He gives you this truth that you can handle, this cross to bear, and you get through it, and then you rip it off. Rip off those grave clothes, because now you're set free. Hallelujah. Isn't he amazing? He's so amazing. And so you can do it. I'm sure there's things in your life, you know, if you're open to truth and you can't see it, you can't feel it, until he reveals it to you. And then when he reveals it to you, you're responsible to, sure, with his help, get rid of it. And don't keep wanting to go back. I mean, actually, there's a couple things in my life that have been like that for this time. But this one thing was the worst. And what was worse than that is the thing that kept erupting from my sin that I couldn't handle. And I couldn't see myself getting through it if Jesus didn't do something. And so I want to also tell you, too, that the third day, Jesus reminded me to start saying, what I wanted, and stop wallowing in the fear of that thing happening, because he's faithful. And I let go of it, finally. I let go of it 3 times. And each time, that situation turned around. And then each time I went back to that sin, it fell apart again. It was so obvious, so apparent. And I just thank him and praise him for that. And I want more. Only what I can handle at a time. But I want more than that. You know, I was just thinking about Jesus you know, he handled all that rejection. And there's one parable in the Bible that sticks out to me, and where he tells his own story. And I'm working on a book about this. And he tells his own story. There's a banquet. No one wants to come. No one wants to get ready to marry him. No one wants to come to the table. And I was at that table with him in heaven. But rejection again? And look at me. I was saying, this isn't fair. I think I want to go back the other way. It doesn't feel good. But at the same time, I didn't want to. I was rejecting him. He's still being rejected. And so I was talking about, this is the truth I could handle now. And Jesus went through that truth to do what he did. And now he's going through all this rejection. And then when he has to come, when he comes, when the Father says, go, and he has to say, away from me, I never knew you. Well, you can do it. Whatever God has you do, it's getting rid of a God. It's temptation, like we read in here in Corinthians. No temptation, no trial regarded to as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, has overtaken you. And lay hold, it is not, that's not common to man. There's no temptation or trial that has come to you that is beyond human resistance. And that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience, such as man can bear. Your temptation to quit, to know the right thing to do, and to not do it, that is a temptation that you can overcome. That's what he's saying. You can overcome this. God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power. He showed me by using this thing in my life that I couldn't handle that I can go without that because I'm not going without this. And, you know, that reminds me of people saying, well, you shouldn't tell people they're going to hell. You shouldn't tell them their sin and they're going to hell. But you know what? If you really understood that that sin was going to take you to hell, where there's no water, where it's hot, and where you get to practice your sin over and over again all the rest of your days, when you got that truth, you're not going to give in to that sin anymore, that temptation. You're going to be like, no, yes to God, no, I don't want that in my life. And that's what he was doing. And that was how I was able to let go of it. And that's how I'm able to look at all the other little, not little, but significant things in my life that I've been ignoring him with. And that's what he started showing me. Well, also, you've been ignoring me in this and that and that and that. You know I was telling you not to do that, and you're doing it anyway. Because you're like, oh, it's okay. The enemy is telling you, oh, it's okay. No big deal. And it is a big deal. It's a big deal. Anyway, not to let you be tempted and tried beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure, but with temptation, he will always provide the way out, the means of escape. He helped me. He used that situation as my means to escape, a landing place that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Get to that place where you just won't want it anymore because you see what it's doing to you. He's amazing. He is so amazing. I'm so in love with him. I'm so happy to share this with you. Let's pray. Let's acknowledge him. Jesus, we thank you for this truth today. You are. You're so amazing. Thank you for providing a way out for me and for my friends, those who are listening. Show them how much truth they can handle right now. Keep showing us that we're not ready to enter into eternal life with you because of our sin that we don't even know that we have, because we're not ready to hear that truth. Help us to get ready to be okay with it and stop asking for a way out, but to just walk through it. We love you and praise you. Give you all glory. Isn't he amazing? He is so amazing. So in love with him. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you.